The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Daily Migs Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Migs.
Beat Migs, don't be a loser. Whoa. Beat Migs, you're a loser.
Who's ready to beat Migs? I know Stephanie from Woodinville is. Stephanie, are you there?
I am.
I'm Sarah, your host, and it's time for you to get out of here, Steve.
Bye-bye.
For those playing at home, Stephanie has 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you'll only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
How many stars are on the American flag?
50.
Correct. What does the media company CNN stand for?
Central Nation News.
No.
Skip.
Who co-stars alongside Ryan Reynolds in the upcoming movie Deadpool and Wolverine?
Skip.
Honey, spicy brown, and hot are all types of what?
Mustard.
Correct. What band have the albums Keep the Faith and These Days?
Faith No More.
No.
Skip.
Billings and Missoula are cities in what U.S. state?
Montana.
Correct. The Canadian $2 coin is sometimes called what?
Toonie.
Correct. What is Baby Yoda's real name?
Skip.
N is the symbol for what chemical element?
Nitrogen.
Correct. How many strings does a typical mandolin have?
6.
No. Stephanie, you got 5 correct. And you got to all the questions. So halfway.
And she skipped one she didn't know. That's like, you know, strategy number one.
Do you think she's going to win?
It's a good question. I don't know. I like to always be on the side of the rockaholic. But there's some in there,
I think.
Steve,
I'm a rockaholic,
right?
Too.
You are. That's true.
So why
don't
you
OG.
Yeah. Why are you anti me?
I like to see the wealth be shared a little bit. And right now, how many wins do you have?
137. Only 34 losses.
138, maybe.
Steve, are you ready?
Yeah.
How many stars are on the American flag?
50.
Correct. What does the media company CNN stand for?
Cable News Network.
Yes. Who co-stars alongside Ryan Reynolds in the upcoming movie Deadpool and Wolverine?
Oh, crap. Hugh Jackman?
Wow, yes. Nice. Honey is spicy brown and hot are all types of what?
Spice Girls.
No.
Mustard.
Correct. What band had the albums Keep the Faith and These Days?
Bon Jovi.
Correct. Billings and Missoula are cities.
Montana.
In yes. The Canadian $2 coin is sometimes called what?
A loony.
No.
Oh, a toonie?
Yes. What is Baby Yoda's real name?
Oh, is it like Grogu?
It is Grogu.
What?
N is the symbol for what chemical element?
Nitrogen?
Yes. How many strings does a typical mandolin have?
4.
No.
5.
No.
7.
No.
8.
Yes.
Damn it.
Even if you got that one correct, you would have got a perfect 10.
Ah.
But you didn't, so you only got 9, but that's still a win, 9-5. Sorry, Stephanie.
That's all right. Amazing job, Mick.
Thank you, my friend. Oh, have a great day.
Very kind.
That was pretty good.
It's good sportsmanship, by the way, to congratulate you afterwards.
It is. So I will congratulate you as well.
Thank you.
And I'm upset you didn't get a perfect 10, though.
I know. Why'd I go with an odd number?
I have no idea.
That was a stupid guess.
It was.
I'm very disappointed in myself. But you know what? I got to point the finger inward. It was my fault.
Oh, wow.
Nobody else's.
Taking responsibility.
Yeah.
Owning up.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was deep.
Yeah. I mean, who else am I going to blame?
Taryn.
True.
Yeah, I can blame Taryn for
you
the lack of
blame
faith.
That's fine.
The Daily Migs Show.
206-803-ROCK. Rockaholics, we want to know, what was the coolest or most ridiculous thing that you have ever won? We ask because apparently it was Bacon Mania last night in Virginia.
Have you seen the video of this?
It's pretty epic.
I never wanted to go see a women's college basketball game in Virginia more in my entire life than after seeing this video footage.
Their women's team was playing Miami, and the way that the rules worked is if they missed both of their free throws, the bacon would be free for the crowd.
Incredible. And people were dressed up as bacon. Like, this wasn't just like they sprung it on the fans that night. Like, this is a thing that they do. And the fan base has totally embraced it. I think that's awesome.
I mean, I would be very stoked about winning bacon.
Do you think the fans are like, bacon, look at them. They're just bonkers out there, man. They're having the best time.
I think more colleges should do this.
Yes.
Absolutely. Here's the moment where the crowd won their free bacon.
So the kids are on the edges of their seats because everybody gets bacon if in the second half the opponent here misses two consecutive free throws. Bacon time.
I love the announcer.
Oh, the world's a better place.
Yes.
Bacon for everybody.
Who is that guy? It's bacon time.
And you usually do, there's a little bit of cheer when your opponent misses a couple free throws, but not like that.
No, you're giving us free bacon. And you're a college kid? This is on a whole other level.
Well, and apparently they're not the only college that has started doing these kinds of giveaways. North Carolina State fans cheered on their women's basketball team last night against Louisville for the incentive of free chicken.
And it's chicken time. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
If one of the Cardinals were to miss two free throws, they win free chicken. And here's that audio.
And they're chanting chicken in here because if she misses the next one, they get chicken. Let's do that chicken.
I mean, is it fried chicken? Is it raw chicken? What is it?
It's all the chicken.
Chicken wings.
Chicken tenders. Really, I imagine it's like chicken nuggets or something. I don't know.
Really missed opportunity to not do winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Oh.
Like, what?
Right? After, I was like, okay.
It's more like loser, loser chicken dinner.
That doesn't sound as much fun.
Well, if they miss the two free throws.
The winners are the people in the crowd, Taryn.
Oh, well, that's true. That is true.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. Get with it. Yeah, I know. The other announcer, he had, it's bacon time. Whereas that announcer just sounded kind of annoyed with the fact that they're even doing this giveaway. She's like, yeah, now everybody gets chicken. This is ridiculous.
So is it only once per game? Like, if it happens again?
I got to imagine it's just a one-time deal. I don't know. That's a lot of chicken you got to give people.
Well, be better at free throws. Like, that's what we practice for, right?
What do you think, like, the arena pulls that player aside and says, hey, listen, you just cost us a lot of chicken.
We're going bankrupt because of chicken and bacon. Rockaholics, what is the coolest or most ridiculous thing that you have ever won?
The Daily Migs Show.
There's a woman from Florida named Teal who was gored by a bull on her farm.
Okay.
Which is very intense.
What kind of farm do you have where you have a bull going around?
That's a great question. I have no bulls.
Have you ever tried to get a bull?
No.
So, yeah, you wouldn't even
that would be too much. Too much.
Too aggressive.
Too aggressive.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't see Brad, you know, in his stoner ways wanting to chill out with a bull hanging out in your backyard.
That being said, I have seen some pretty adorable mini Highland cows, and I would be down with a mini cow, a mini bull.
A mini bull. How big did they get?
I don't know. Mini?
Was that 3 feet tall?
Probably.
Can you ride it?
There's only one way to find out.
A couple drinks, a couple White Claws, and there's Taryn's just riding a little mini bull.
Well, if this woman had not been gored by the bull, she may not have been able to live, to survive. She ended up finding out some life-saving news because of the x-rays that she had to have done for a broken rib that she sustained during the bull goring.
You hear that from time to time where something not awful. Well, getting gored by a bull is awful. But like maybe something like, you know, I did this, I fell and I hurt my knee, so I went to the doctor to go check it out, and then I found out that I had some kind of a disease. Had I not found that out, it could have been, you know, fatal. But because I found it out soon enough, I was okay.
So doctors ended up finding a tumor in her lung, and because of the severity of the tumor, if they had not found it then, it could have ended up killing her.
Wow.
Yeah, here's Teal talking about her bull attack.
When I walked outside, I saw my son getting whammed by this bull. I just kind of gave up the ghost. I was like, okay, Lord, it's me or you. You know, I'm done here. I can't hold out any longer. I'm alive, and I'm going to stay alive.
Wow. That is very intense.
just the fact that she survived a bull attack, like that right there is a story in itself. And then all of a sudden you find out, okay, I'm going to be okay thanks to this stupid bull.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that at all. I've never even had we've never even had an issue with a really aggressive animal on our property except for one goat named Boo Boo, who we ended up having to get rid of. But Boo Boo had horns, and he would sometimes try to hook you or get you. And then when I was pregnant with Barrett, and he got me in the leg, and it actually abrased my skin and made me a little bit I bled a little bit. And my husband was like, "We're getting rid of this goat."
How are the goat chops after?
Oh my God, the curry. It was goat curry. No, we didn't
goat curry.
But so here's the thing. I was still defending the goat. I said bull. I was still defending the goat at this point, telling Brad, he's just doing goat things.
Right.
Just can't be mad at the goat.
Yeah.
This poor lady. That bull was just being a bull, doing bull things. But then this after I had Barrett, the moment we got home from the hospital, I was like, oh, we got to get rid of that goat. I became a protector.
Well, yeah, it's okay if you can handle it. You can kind of fend for yourself, but you can't have a child in that situation.
Sure. So, but the best part is, you want to know where he ended up? It was not the curry. I found a guy that has those herds of goats that clear brush.
Oh, okay.
You see them on the side of I-5 and stuff.
When we used to work at the old building, we would look outside the window, and right by I-5, there was always just 15 goats, sometimes 12 goats, just out there just gnawing on the lawn.
Yeah, so that was what we ended up doing.
Such a strange thing. I'm like, I feel like we can fix this quicker with just a lawnmower.
So we sold him to, the guy paid best money for the goat.
How much?
It was $300 or something like that.
$300 for a goat.
Yeah.
That's all it costs to get one?
Now, or if you adopt one, they sometimes have adoption fees that are far less than that.
Well, I'm sure as hell not getting a goat. We have fake grass in our backyard. That would be very weird. Seems like this is the worst grass I've ever eaten.
Also, if you do have goats, whatever the most precious things are in your garden that you love, that's what they're going to eat first.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Do you get to play with your goats?
I mean, I do. I go out into their little pen. Yesterday, I was out there
fetch?
Getting scratch. No. Can
don't look at me like I'm not going to fetch. I'm asking questions.
But they
shame me for my ignorance.
But they love neck scratches and booty scratches and stuff. They're very, very affectionate. One of them, the big one, he'll lean on me.
They belly rubs?
I don't know that I've tried to get under there.
City folks just don't get it.
But they don't like to be touched on their head. Because that is kind of you see goats do the headbutting.
Right.
So if you touch their head, sometimes that can cause them to be a little bit aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
They think that you want to headbutt.
So you
want
a little tush rub instead of a...
Yeah, a little tush rub, tush scratch, back scratch, neck scratch is what they really like, though.
So no, you can't get a squeaky toy and they won't want to play tug of war or anything like that.
I've not yet had that experience with my goats, no. Okay. But they do, what's also really funny, when they get real fired up and they're running around their goat pen a whole bunch, they, they kind of chase each other, they're playing tag, they pant like dogs. You're like, hey, slow down, everybody. Let's grab some water. Let's take five.
You broke Steve. He's not going to be available for the rest of the show.
I just love that it couldn't have just stopped with they pant like dogs. I think anyone listening, even if you don't have a dog, can visualize and make the sound in your head of what a panting dog sounds like. But I respect.
There may be someone out there who's never heard a dog pant before, Steve, and I don't want them to feel left out of this conversation.
Mind you, just a few minutes before that, I asked, how big are these bulls? And she just puts her hand like 3 feet above the ground, but doesn't say about 3 feet tall.
About yay high.
She's like, about this high. And I'm like, people who are listening have no idea what that means. But then you bring up they pant like dogs. I'm like, all of our listeners know what a panting dog sounds like, but you still had to make it a point to go. It's interesting the things that you need to illustrate and the other things that you don't.
You guys, I just want to say thanks for bringing me onto this show, because how would you ever know these things if you hadn't?
I would be very goat ignorant.
It is an educational experience every morning.
Every
you guys are almost farm people now.
I'm ready to get some overalls and go.
Oh, please, let's make this happen.
Oh my God.
I will pay a lot of money to see Steve in overalls.
Those are the thumbnails that Danny would click on.
How
Steve in overalls.
Drunk Steve chasing a goat around, panting like a dog too. What?
I can't wait. You guys got to come up to the farm.
Yeah, we do.
You got to come up.
Greg,
I'll have you. We can muck out some pens together. You can feed them.
Oh, no, I'm not doing any work.
The hell does muck out a pen mean?
It means you gotta scoop out the poop, get all the bedding out, replace it. Yeah.
Hard pass.
Wait, can I milk your goats?
I mean, my goats are not milkable. So, Sarah, the way that it works is...
Oh, no. Never mind. Never mind.
You'd have to have like a mother. Like, it'd have to be like a pregnant mama goat. She'd have to have her baby, and then she will be in milk.
Oh, I can't just milk a random goat?
Can't just squeeze it a bunch?
No. Right. It's just like humans. Like... If there's nothing in there, there's nothing in there. So right now, mine has nothing in there because she's not a mama. And then the boy goat that we have is what you call a wether. So he doesn't have his boys. His boys have been removed.
Weathered.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't try to milk the boy one. I know that.
Do you?
I'm not sure you do, Sarah.
The Daily Migs Show.
A 20-year-old guy named Angus from South Africa barely survived a vicious shark attack this year while snorkeling in French Polynesia. He decided to own this experience by having the doctors pull the shark's teeth out of his left arm, and then he had it turned into an earring.
That's amazing.
I mean, that's about as metal as it gets. You know what I'm saying?
If you're going to do it, you might as well do it big.
So this is Angus talking about this shark attack.
My story starts when I was badly bitten by a shark in French Polynesia while doing some free diving in a remote island in the middle of nowhere. Luckily, the amazing clinic on the island organized a French military plane to come and pick me up and take me all the way to Tahiti. It was quite amazing that when we did x-rays on my arm looking for broken bones, we discovered several shark teeth that had been broken off inside and had been left behind. Two pieces of teeth.
Whoa, first of all, that's just insane.
I thought their teeth would be a little bit stronger than that. Like, they're not going to fall out.
That's. I was just thinking it's also just crazy in the x-rays, they see the teeth there. Hey, what are those things? They look weird. Oh, that's the shark's teeth. Oh. Pull them out.
I've been left behind. Two pieces of teeth and a whole tooth was removed from my arm, but it's really cool to still have a small piece of tooth left. So if you think I should make a little earring out of this this tooth, let me know. I think it'd be quite a fun video to make.
If I was a jeweler, I'd hit him up and be like, dude, this story is just insane. I'll make that for you for free.
Absolutely.
Just give us a plug on your Instagram, please.
I had hardware removed from my knee when I had my knee surgery.
Okay.
And I made those into earrings.
Did you really?
Yes. I had two screws. One was a little bit bigger than the other. And I had those made into earrings.
Now, what do you mean you made them into earrings? Like, did you just put them through the hole of your ear and then like a little nut on the back and just like tighten it up? Or did you actually
get... No, you can go to like a craft store and get like the earring pieces and make little earrings. It's very easy.
So you just had two screws hanging from your ears?
Oh, yeah.
Did anybody say, hey, why do you have two screws hanging from your ears? Or they're just like, ah, Taryn, she's kind of screwy anyway.
I mean, I always had like interesting jewelry over the years. I used to put like safety pins in my ears. I was I used to put my earrings in backwards. I was very into like garnering attention, you know.
Oh, unlike you nowadays.
No, not at all.
Yeah, that's not like you ever. No. But still, I mean, safety pins I kind of have seen before. I've never seen anybody rock screwdriver or screws in their ears.
Yeah, me either.
I actually have screws from my knee surgeries too, and everyone told me to either make them a necklace or make them earrings.
Sarah,
but I never got to it, so will you turn mine
absolutely
into some jewelry?
I'm very crafty.
And then we could be twins, and then people will ask about them and we'll be like, oh, these were once in our bodies.
Wait, why? So you, since you've had both your knees worked on, do you have, how many screws do you have?
I have four.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You kept all of them?
Heck yeah. Huh. I was really hoping that I could keep them in and go through the metal detector in the airport and get set off.
So you could get more attention? Or so you could get pat down
get
by
frisked.
The... Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but they bothered me, so
these
I got
two screwballs over here.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would keep the screws.
Really?
But
what
then
would
again,
you do with them? Just toss them?
Well, what would you do with them by keeping them? All right, you made earrings.
Yeah,
never mind. Why am I asking these questions?
Do you have any weird things you've hung on to over the years?
Yes. Yes. The weirdest thing, I think, was the time when I was driving on I-5 and some car in front of me kicked up a pipe. And the pipe was under a foot long, but it was still a big-ass pipe. I remember driving, and it was like slow motion. And I saw this pipe just kind of flying towards my windshield and kind of moved just a little bit, thankfully. Like, not like I swerved like crazy, but I just kind of moved a little bit. And instead of hitting the driver part of my windshield, it hit the passenger. And it was, dude, it was gnarly. It didn't fully shatter the windshield. I mean, obviously it cracked it, but the pipe went through the windshield. So now I'm driving with a pipe through my windshield, like some kind of like prop.
Did you just keep driving home or did you pull over?
Yeah, I still have it in the car. No.
Oh, my God.
Of course, I pulled over just to kind of catch my breath, like, what the F just happened? And then went straight to a glass repair place because I was going to a wrestling event. I think WWE was in town. I'm like, I'm not missing it. So I had to hurry up and get this done. But the crazy part about all that was I shared it on social media, the picture of the pipe, and talking about keepsakes, I kept it. But I shared the whole thing on social media. Cairo7 hit me up and I'm like, hey, can we share your picture and talk about it on our newscast? And I'm like, You're never going to use this on the newscast. And sure as us, I DVR'd Cairo 7's news that night. This is back when Steve Rabel was still the anchor. And boom, this was said.
Thankfully, Migs was okay.
And that was like one of the greatest moments of my entire career. I had Steve Rabel. Not even say Steve or Steve Migliori or anything like that. It's just...
Thankfully, Migs was okay.
And I was like, this is so awesome. And I kept that pipe in my car for the longest time until finally I hit a point where I'm like, what am I doing with this thing?
So what, do you just put it in the trash or do you like responsibly recycle it at some station?
Oh, no.
I just threw it away. I mean, the thing was like 8 inches. I don't know.
That's pretty big.
Yes, it is.
I know.
Rockaholics, 206-803-ROCK. What is the strangest keepsake that you have, and what is the backstory behind it? Give us a call now.
The Daily Migs Show.
What is the strangest keepsake that you've been hanging on to, and what is the backstory behind it? 206-803-ROCK. Jason from Yelm, what photo is it that you have?
Oh, hey, what? Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
What's up, Jason?
Hey, can I give a shout out to my fellow teachers in before I tell you the story?
Absolutely.
Cool. Here's the shout out to all my fellow teachers at Ridgeline Middle School. We made it, y'all.
Aw.
Yeah.
It's a battle every day, I'm telling y'all. I'm telling you.
Are you doing the parent teacher conferences right now?
No, man. I run the in school suspension program.
Oh, so you get to hang out with all the good kids.
Started at the bottom, now I'm at the top, baby.
All right, Jason, tell us your story. What's your keepsake and what's the story behind it?
All right. So I recently just retired from the military after 21 years. And back in the day, we were in Iraq and we were cruising through Tikrit, which was Saddam Hussein's hometown. And they had a big mural of him in the middle of the city. And so we pulled over and I pulled out my pig sticker and walked up there and cut a big chunk out of the mural and brought it back. And
whoa.
So that's the kind of a cool, dark keepsake that I have.
Oh, I bet it makes for a great story whenever you're talking to somebody and be like, hey, check this out. Because, I mean, that is pretty epic.
Yeah. And but you know what? When I tell these stories to people that aren't in the military anymore, they don't laugh like we laughed. So I don't know, man. I guess I don't tell that story too often.
Dude, in any walk of life, if you have like a sense of gallows humor and you share something and then you realize, oh, crap, the people I'm talking to don't have that same sense of humor, I probably should have just kept quiet.
You know, I have that feeling on a daily basis.
Hey, real quick, one question. What the hell is a pig sticker?
A big knife.
Oh, okay. That was a euphemism. I was like, damn, man. Savage.
Thank you for your service, Jason. Justin from Ferndale, what is the keepsake that you have and what's the story behind it?
So I have about a... Good morning, everyone. So I have a 3-inch nail in a pill bottle at my house because it used to be next to my thumb when it got shot into my finger.
Oh.
Did you shoot it into your finger or did somebody else?
So the backstory is I'm a metal worker and I needed to make a crate to pack something up. So I went to the wood shop and tried building the crate. I've had some use with like normal power tools, not a nail gun. Anyway, I'm like, this is cool. Keep pounding away. And my second to last shot, it double tapped one into the 2x4 and one into the side of my finger.
Oh my gosh. Now,
yeah.
Did it go in so hard and so fast that you didn't really feel it at first? Or, sorry, that sounded wrong.
Yes, it actually, so funny enough, so it went right next to the bottom portion of my thumb and then about halfway into my palm. And the nail was apparently right next to my bone. So they, I went to go show my supervisor. He almost passes out from the side of it. And I'm like, hey, I'm keeping my cool with a nail in my finger. You can be cool taking me to the ER. And he was like, okay. So he takes me to the ER. And they're like, this is the coolest thing you've seen all week.
Did they get the back of a hammer and just kind of yank it out?
Oh, even better. They grabbed the pair of surgical pliers, which were a pair of Irwin vice grips, and they poured some like saline on it, and yeah, yanked that thing out. But I had like nurses and doctors come in and be like, hey, are you the guy with the nail? I'm like, yep. They wanted to take like pictures with it, like check it out. Like,
do they give you a countdown, like 1, 2, 3, blah, or do they just go for it?
The guy was like, you ready? I'm like, yep. And he was, boop.
Oh, God. I think I'm going to pass out.
My favorite part, Danny can confirm, the entire time he's sharing that story, you looked so unnerved.
I was like shaking.
You're kicking the floor of the like of our console.
I thought she was kicking you for a second.
I mean, she might as well have. She was losing her mind.
Trucker Matt is in Wenatchee. What's the backstory behind your keepsake?
Hey, can you hear me all right?
We can.
Yep. Yeah. What's up, Matt?
So about the beginning of 2009, I deployed to Iraq, and only a couple of months into the military, so not much experience, they put me in a truck called the Husky, which is a one-manned vehicle, and we were doing missions out at night, going through checkpoints, and all the other trucks were turning off what appeared to be all their lights. Turned out it was just the KC lights on the outside of the truck, and I turned all of my lights off, and I ended up taking that brand new almost $1 million truck and ran it into a Jersey barrier.
Oh no.
How fast were you going?
Like 3-4 miles an hour.
But enough to mess it up.
Oh yeah. So the front tires were pigeon toed in, like at a 45-degree angle. The truck had maybe 100 miles on it. And there's a chunk of fiberglass panels that were metal detectors. And I picked up one of those pieces and I brought it home. It was about 2 feet long.
How much?
I still have it to this day.
How much trouble do you get in when you have to finally tell somebody, hey, I kind of dinged up the $1 million Husky over here?
Well, so I thought that because I obviously couldn't see what I was doing, I thought one of the big tires had went flat because it, like, rocked over to one side. And my platoon sergeant, I couldn't hear from inside the up-armored vehicle, but he's waving his hands around and probably dropped about 17 F-bombs.
Oh, no.
I can only imagine. That's rough. Thanks for the call, Matt.
The Daily Migs Show.